Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let's take a moment and spend some time in prayer this morning. Father God, thank you that we come into your house today, into this sanctuary, into this building, and we recognize, God, that you have given us an opportunity to give you praise. Because, God, you are worthy. Because, God, you are the only one that is worthy. You are, as we have just sung, miracle keeper, way maker, the keeper of promises. And, God, we're thankful that when we come together in a time such as this, we're not just singing songs for the sake of singing songs. We're worshiping our Creator, the God who loves us so much that he would send his Son to a cross to die for us. And so, God, we're grateful that we have these reminders. We're grateful that we have these times where we gather together as a church and we just worship. We sing praises. We spend time in prayer. We hear your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we experience all of that today and much more, Lord, will you help us to be different because of what we experience? Help us to grow in our relationship with you. Even if it's ever so slightly, just help us to change our trajectory a little bit so that we can look more and more like your Son, Jesus. Knowing that it's not attaining anything other than becoming more like him. That we would have adjustments to the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, where love and joy and peace and patience and all of these would be more of who we are, more of our character, more of what drives us, and that we would be powered by the Spirit that is yours. So God, thank you. Thank you. And Father, I pray that as we have lived our lives this week, if there are things that we need to confess today, if there are areas of our lives that we just need to lay down because we've stumbled, because we've faltered, because we have failed, because we're human and it happens, God, will you speak to our spirit right now? As we pause for just a moment and confess to you these things, God, will you work in our hearts right now? If you need to do some business with the Lord right now, please do so for a moment. God, these moments of silence are not always easy. But it is good for us to confess the things that we have fallen short of, that is your glory, and offer them to you for you to cleanse us and to work on our hearts. So thank you, God, for that. God, we thank you that we can approach you in relationship, that you are not hidden from us, that you are available for us to spend time with in prayer and devotion. And we thank you that you love us so very much that you desire relationship with us. God, this isn't just this thing that we call Christianity or following Jesus is not just about a list of rules or things that we do, but it is about the relationship that is built with you and the love that is created and developed. So thank you, God, for that. And even as we go throughout this week, God, will you guide us? Will you speak to our hearts? Will you help us to know what to do and how to do it? Will you be with us when we need you? and when we don't need you? Will you be with us when we have problems and difficulty? Will you walk beside us as a friend? Will you also just be our righteous warrior that holds us up when your righteous right hand and protects us when we need it? Will you also comfort us when tears of sadness just completely flow down our cheeks? Because we know that there is difficulty in life, but will you be the comfort that we need in the pain that we experience? God, will you do a work in us today? Will you do a work in us this week? Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Well, good morning again. Good to see you all here today. Glad that you have chosen this day to come to the house of the Lord and to worship. You guys doing all right today? Excellent. That was pretty solid. Pretty solid for this Sunday in late January, last Sunday in January. And I hope that you are just excited for what God has in store for you this week and what he has in store for us as a church in the coming days. We have these QR codes that are kind of scattered throughout the church on the screen. You can access them through your cell phone at any point in time, and it just gives you a chance to let us know that you're here, but then also at the bottom of that is an area for prayer requests. If you have things that you want to be prayed for and you want to leave it there, that would be fine. If not, you can contact me for other prayer requests, and we'll make sure that you are being prayed for. We have a number of things that we just want to slide through up on the screen that are reminders for you today. First one is that we have various different ways that you can connect with us. We utilize all the socials, and so you can check those out. That would be awesome. We have a prayer time that meets every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 a.m. We meet on Zoom, and we would love it if you would join us. You can do so at your leisure. We meet for about a half an hour. We pray for things that are going on in the church. We pray for the church, and we just spend time in prayer, and I would love for you to join us. That happens Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And then we also want to just remind you, because it's always good to have reminders, that we have a thing called Steeps and Sweets that meets every Sunday typically. I throw that typically in there because not every Sunday we do, but typically most every Sunday we meet at about in between 9:15, 9:30 in the hallway, and you can have a tasty snack typically. You might not like the tasty snack, but it's other people do. And then we also have some beverages that you can enjoy as well. Why do we do that? We do that because we believe that relationship matters, and we want you to build relationships within the church. That's how we, not only do we grow, but we sharpen one another and we help one another. And it's just good for us to be a part of those things. So check that out typically every Sunday. We also have a meeting today that is taking place after the worship service. Approximately 11:30, somewhere around there, that is going to be sharing information about a summer mission trip to Guatemala. And this is basically, if you're interested, stick around. You'll find out all the information there. If you're not interested, that doesn't interest you one bit, then after you hang out with your friends for a little bit, you feel free to head on home. You don't have to stick around for the meeting and listen to me drone on and on about mission trips. So that's happening about 11:30, and adults, teenagers, you're all more than welcome to join us for that. The last thing that I want to talk about is this, is that we have opportunities and areas that you can join in and partner and volunteer here at Living Hope, and we would love it if you would do so. Maybe you're just thinking, hey, you know what? I can do this. How do I bring that to the church? Can I bring that to the church? Can I do something at the church? Maybe you can push a button and make coffee. Oh, I mean, it's the hardest thing to do in the world, right? We have a very complicated system of making coffee. It is, the hipsters would love it. I'm just kidding. They probably look at it and say, no, that's not how you make a proper cup of coffee. But it's how we make coffee. And so if you can push a button, we would love to get you to help. And there's other areas as well. We have audio, video areas that we would love to train you on how to do things in the audio, video area. Or maybe you just like talking to people. Anybody like talking to people? No hands. Zero. That is, why are we here? We would love for you to be on the welcome team. And there's ways that we can help you be a part of what's going on. We have areas that you can serve in. And so if you're interested in that, the best way to get plugged in is to start with me, and then I will connect you with leaders and things of that nature. Maybe you, maybe I've said something that you're like, you haven't said anything that interests me. Well, what are you interested in? Where might you want to serve? And guess what? I'm sure that we could figure that out. I'm positive that we can. So those are the things that I would love to connect with you about. And if you want to know why this matters, it's because this is the body of Christ. We are people that love one another, and we need everybody in order to make this place work and to be a part of what's going on. So we would love it if you would help out. And I'm talking to everybody, littles and olders. Should I say biggers instead of olders? Not everybody's bigger like me. They're just slightly bigger littles. Anyways, before I go down too many rabbit trails, it's a joy for you guys to be here. I love being your pastor, and I love being a part of this place, and I hope that you love it as well. We're going to dismiss our kids for Children's Church today, but they have Kids for Missions. So kids, you are dismissed. Ages 4 to 5th grade are dismissed to meet their leaders in the back, and they will go and learn about missions this week. As they are dismissed, we are going to jump into our final sermon in this series titled A New Day. And I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Joshua chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can break out your cell phone and access your Bible app. That is just fine. Actually, we encourage it because opening up the Bible and having the Bible available on our devices is okay because it's still the Word of God, right? I think so. Nobody else agreed with me, but anyways, access it. So why do I do that? We are a Bible-believing church. This thing that we call the Bible is important to us. This is our, the book itself is not that, like, it's a book, but it's the Word of God that matters. And so, bring that with you. That's awesome. We'd love it. This is a series that has been focusing in on a new day. And the reason why I've titled it A New Day is because at the very beginning of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, and we're only like 5 chapters in, but at the very beginning, we have a new experience for Joshua. He has stepped into a leadership role, and it has drastically changed his world, where he is the one in charge of a massive, massive group of people as they leave the wilderness and start going into the promised land. And new experiences, new things are beginning to unfold, and new territories and new conquests and just a lot of stuff going on. And last week, we got to hear about a prostitute that is mixed right in the midst of the story. And this prostitute eventually becomes a part of the most important lineage in all of history, and that is Jesus's lineage. And yeah, Jesus had a prostitute in his family tree. Wow. So anyways, lots of stuff going on. We're going to skip a couple of chapters. We're going to move into chapter 5. And chapter 5, we got a lengthy passage. Here's where we're going to start out in chapter 5, verse 13. Now, if you want to do a little bit of studying on your own, read chapters 3 and chapter 4. You'll find them fascinating. They're cool. But picking up here in verse 13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. That's not cool. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. Now, I'm going to take a time out. Have you ever watched the VeggieTales version of this story? Oh, man, if you haven't, you need to go check it out. It's fantastic. But anyways, we'll just keep on going. "Neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy, is holy." And Joshua did so. Now, turn the page. Chapter 6. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. Now, if you're thinking about modern-day trumpets, don't, because they were probably shofars, which is a horn that is made out of an animal horn. So it doesn't have any, like, buttons to make good music. It's just a sound. So it's not like they were having a sweet parade with great music and drums and things like that. It's just I don't even know what it sounded like, but when I was little, I thought that it was like a sweet parade of trumpets. It probably wasn't. Anyways, you guys are in trouble with me today. Okay, where was I? Yes. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests, verse 9, and who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So we had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you this city." Okay, we're going to just pause right there because there's a lot going on here, and I've got some things that I really want to spend some time on today. And from this passage, there's a few things that I want to talk about, things that I think that if we understand them, things that I think that the Israelites kind of learned in this story, and if we can apply these things to many different areas of our lives, I really do think that they will lead to some breakthroughs in our life, breakthroughs spiritually, breakthroughs relationally with others and with God, breakthroughs in other areas of our lives as well. And the truth is that we may not have physical walls that we have to overcome, but I think there are some metaphorical walls that we face. In fact, I think we all face some type of metaphorical wall consistently. There are different things that we just have to face over time. Jericho itself, just a little history lesson for you, it was not an especially large city, meaning that the circumference of it wasn't massive areas. If we were to walk it, it would take about an hour to walk. At least that's what historians think. But while it's not an especially large city, it really had a huge fortified wall that was intimidating, difficult to scale, and difficult to even walk up to and imagine how massive it is. And as we talked about last week, many people, not just Rahab, but many people built their homes into the wall themselves. And so that added to the fortification of the city of Jericho. So if you can imagine that, how would a city such as that be taken over by a group of invaders or soldiers that at this point in time hadn't built anything to try to destroy the wall? How is this going to happen? So as we read in chapter 6, the very first verse, it says that the people of Jericho were shut in, meaning that no one was going out and no one was coming in. The city was shut tight. Now, isn't that interesting? I think it's interesting. If no one's going in or no one's going out, what's going on? Well, there was fear. There was fear for the people that were on the outside of the city. Who were those people? That's when we all say together, the Israelites. Want to try again? The Israelites. Okay, they're outside the city. And what do we know about the Israelites? They had already escaped 40 years ago from Egypt, the world's power at that time. And the army no longer existed 40 years ago because they're at the bottom of the Red Sea. Huh. And then as they're traveling through the wilderness, they go to a place called Sion. And that community is completely destroyed. And the Israelites keep on walking. They come up to the next city and they go to Og. That's a fun word. Og would be a horrible name for anybody. So as you are, no. Og, no, don't name people that. Og is completely destroyed, laid to waste. Not just that, wasn't just one city. It was multiple cities around that area, as you can look in Numbers. This is a complete area and other towns and things like that completely destroyed, and the Israelites keep walking. They go to the city of Jericho, and the people are scared. There is fear on their faces from the Israelites that are there. And Israel is looking up and they are seeing this structure, this wall that they are told that they have to go into and conquer. And they're feeling intimidated on both sides, inside and outside. There is an element of fear that is going on in this situation. Yet, let me ask you, who has the advantage? Those on the inside or those on the outside? The enemy is just as afraid. And if not, our enemy that we face is just as afraid because he knows what's coming. He knows that he's already lost the battle. The Israelites already knew that the battle was won, or at least they should have. And we'll find out why in just a little bit. Jericho was the gateway to the promised land, the place that the people of Israel had been promised years and years and years ago to their forefathers, and they knew this was theirs. Yet, to rest in the promised land, yet to achieve what God had been asking them to do, had not happened yet. They knew it was theirs, but Jericho was looming in the not-so-distant land. Now, I do want to remind you that they have already crossed the Jordan River. That's already taken place, so you can read about that in chapter 4. I believe that it was in chapter 4, chapter 3, or the first part of 5, whichever one you want to look at. It's in there. And so they've already done that, so they're already there. They're just waiting to go into Jericho. So let's talk about promises for just a moment. The people of Israel have been given a huge promise that they would go into the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey and all of what that means. It really is a symbolic word of that they would have a good and fruitful land and that they would be able to receive it and live their lives there. And that was their promise. And along the way, you have been given promises in your life. They've been given to you by God. Maybe in prayer, you've received a promise from God that he will be with you. And that's pretty scriptural, right? And maybe there's other things that God has promised you individually that he wants to do in your life. Or by reading scripture, you realize that God has a plan to not harm you, but to prosper you. Jeremiah 29. Or maybe it's something else that God has specifically spoken to you, but the promise just hasn't happened yet. What do we do with these promises that God has for us? And I'm not speaking metaphorically here. I believe that God has a promise in each of our lives, a call on each of our lives, a purpose for each of our lives, a thing that we can do, that we can be a part of. But what do we do in those moments when the promise just hasn't happened yet? What is that promise? What are the things that are difficult that we have to wrestle with? Well, for the rest of today, I want to challenge you with two words. Let's put them up on the screen. Keep walking. Keep walking. Say it with me. Keep walking. We're going to look at 3 or 4 different points. And within these points, the key to it all is going to be those two words of keep walking. So embed them in your mind right now. Keep walking. Hebrews 10, 35 through 36 says this. So do not throw away your confidence, it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Do not throw away your confidence. The confidence that you have in the Lord, the confidence that you have in your life, the confidence that you have in who Jesus is in your life, it will be richly rewarded. What kind of riches? I don't think that's the point. I don't think that's the necessary goal. I think the idea is that God is faithful and he will bless. But you need to persevere. What is perseverance at its most rudimentary form? Walking. Keep walking. It will be richly rewarded. And when you've done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. Now, this isn't about naming and claiming. This isn't about anything other than you being faithful. That it's about being persevering. It's about persevering and receiving when the time is right, when God is ready to receive what he has promised. You see, I think that we have so much going on in our lives that sometimes we just get so wrapped up in what else is going on, we forget that we have to persevere, do the will of God, and when he's ready, we'll receive what he's promised. Because it's always about him. It's always about him. So first thought is this. Even when the journey is impossible, keep walking. Even when the journey is impossible, that was five of you. Even when the journey is impossible, keep. Yes, somebody started out with a little bit of fire right there. Good. The walls of Jericho were not only tall, they were intimidating. It looked like an impossible task. Can you just imagine? I mean, we don't have city walls really around anymore. It's a concept that we see in the movies, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, but it seems like an impossible task. How in the world were they supposed to do this? And walking around the walls? Strategically? That makes no sense. I mean, think about it for just a second. Walking around a wall makes zero sense. It's not a sound strategy. Now, I am not a battle-hardened strategist, and I don't think any of you are either. I mean, we do have our friends, the Rosaleses, that have been in the military, and others of you have been in the military. They're currently serving in the National Guard, or the Iowa National Guard, right? Did I get that right? Partly right? And others have been in the military as well. Would have any commander ever said, oh yeah, we're going to take that over there and we're going to walk around it? No, it's not a sound strategic move. But when the journey is impossible, keep walking. What walls are you staring at? As you look at your life, what walls are you staring at? Is there a trauma that you have experienced that is looming in the so far distance that you have to deal with, and you feel as if it's an impossible task for you to deal with it? What issue is there in your marriage or in relationships that is a huge, huge, impossible wall that you don't know how you got to this place, and there's a wall in front of you? Maybe it's communication issues. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's disagreements, maybe it's something that I don't even know what it might be, but it's an issue and it's a wall and it's looming. And you don't know what to do. What struggle is there with friends at school? Difficulties in your job? Maybe it's a family dynamic that while it's not going to break the family apart, but it is just a dynamic that is not easy, and it's painful and it hurts and you don't know what to do and it looks impossible. Maybe that's you right now. You're feeling it. I don't know. I'm not sure where it is or what it is, or maybe it's just it's past things that just keep rearing their ugly head in your life, and it's a wall that you have to face. It's an impossible task, and it looks as if there is no end in sight, and the journey just continues. Well, will you walk? Keep walking, knowing that the Spirit of God walks with you. Will you walk knowing that when you walk with Jesus, He is with you? What happens when the outcomes are not always instant? Keep walking. Did you notice that the Israelites were not given the time frame from where they were supposed to walk? There was no time frame. Joshua knew. Joshua was told, and he was told that you're going to do this every day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day you're going to do this, and this is going to be awesome, and then you can go right into the city. Joshua didn't say that to anybody. Check it out. He didn't tell them anything other than walk. Keep walking. You and I deal with things every day that are difficult. They're hard. They're a struggle. And sometimes, if we only knew how long it was going to take, we would want to fast forward to the end so that it could be finished and finalized, right? If we were to, okay, all right. So the other night, and I'm totally going to rat out my wife for a second, okay? I'll pay for it later. I love you, dear. Okay, so we're sitting there watching TV. And all of a sudden, it's a commercial, and she says, okay, we're going to plank. Like, what? Out of the blue, it happens. So we're doing planks. If you don't know what a plank is, I'll demonstrate. Okay? We were doing the high planks. Okay? All right? So it's like you're in push-up position. We did this for the entire commercial. Was not cool. But you know why we're doing that? So that we can be a little fit, you know? Because you know what happens when you do one plank, one ab pokes out and says, hey, here I am. No, that's the pulled muscle that is saying, hey, I'm hurting. Don't do that. The next commercial comes up and she does the same thing. Time to do it again. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why? I'm bigger and I have more to hold up. Stop. So we did it again, and in the midst of that one, another ab poked down and said, hey, here I am. It doesn't work that way, does it? Not one bit. When we do one exercise, it doesn't result in a washboard ab in the matter of 5 minutes. If it did, how awesome would that be? We would all have like physiques that would just be amazing. But the outcomes aren't always instant, are they? parenting is not always instant in the behaviors that we want for our children. Marriages are not always instant. Guys will not always behave the way that the ladies want us to. And the vice versa. Our jobs will not always be the way that we want them to be. Our bosses will not always be the most amazing boss in the world. Outcomes are not always instant. Our thought processes are that they should be the way that they should be because that's the way we want it, and we live in a Burger King world. But nobody should live in a Burger King world because no. So what ends up happening is that we stop, we give up, and we don't do what we're supposed to do because the outcomes are not always instant. Can you imagine if the Israelites walked one time around the circle of the city and said, sweet, we got it, we're done, city's ours. Not a single wall had been fallen. Not a single layer of the bricks had fallen. It would be foolish for them to think that they have overcome. Outcomes are not always instant. Your battle against addiction, your family's battle against addiction, it's the longest marathon on the face of the planet. Your struggle with moral issues, the longest marathon on the face of the planet. Whatever those moral issues might be. Your struggle with crude things coming out of your mouth. Trucker, like have a mouth of a trucker or sailor. Hopefully there's no truckers in here this morning. If you are, I'm really sorry because that wasn't very nice. It's a saying, it's an idiom, right? But I think you get where I'm coming from. Keep walking. When the outcomes, which are not instant, keep walking. Next point. Obedience matters. Now this one, you're going to think, well, that sounds really close to the last one. It's just different. And but think about it for just a second. Joshua entertains and has encounter with the commander of the army of the Lord. Now, I'm going to be bold enough, and I've read enough, I've studied enough, I've looked at this passage of scripture, I've looked at it in comparison to Moses looking at the burning bush and that whole experience, and there are a few times when God encounters a person and says, take off your shoes, those are dirty, this is holy ground. I think this is a pre-incarnation encounter with Jesus right here in this passage of scripture where Joshua, the one who will save his people, encounters Jesus, Yeshua, the one who saves his people. And he's told, take off your shoes, your sandals. This is holy ground. And take note, he does it. He's faithful. He's obedient. And then he gets told all the information that he needs to know for the battle to commence, for the days to just unfold. And he's encountered this guy with a sword that is drawn, meaning he is ready for battle. It's not sheathed. That was probably not a very good he's got it drawn. He's ready to go. He's ready to go to battle. And he tells the Israelites, we're going to march. Trumpets are going to blast. We're not going to make a sound. In essence, he is telling the Israelites, just shut up and march. I don't use the word shut up very often, at least in our household. That wasn't a polite thing to say, but for the Israelites today, shut up and march. Do what you're supposed to do. Obedience matters. Just march. It doesn't matter how long. March. Don't make a peep. March. And what is marching? Keep on walking. Keep walking. The obedience that you have shown in your life matters. Keep walking. Don't give up. Keep walking. Obedience matters. Obedience to the task at hand. Put your head down and keep walking. If you feel as if you can't take another day of this particular area of your life, I can't take another day of waking up and following this, put your head down and keep walking. Kids, if you're struggling with obedience to your parents, they are the people that you are to submit to. They are your parents. Put your head down and keep walking. We submit to our Heavenly Father. We keep our head down. Not that we can't have that interaction with God. I'm just saying, go. Put your head down. March. Keep walking. Don't give up. Because what we want to do all the time is we want to give up. We want to have a way out. Stop. Here's the last one. God promised He will fulfill it. Keep walking. Come on, say it with me. Keep walking. God promised He will fulfill it. Chapter 6, verse 2 says, See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. What happens? What do we do when God says, see, and what you see is not what He sees? What do you do when God promised something, but it hasn't happened yet? What do you do when God says go, but the going is getting really, really tough and it's difficult? What do you do? There are just times in life where we just don't see what God sees. Not because His promises are wrong, not at all, not one bit. He is faithful in what God says, it will happen. But notice that when God says, see, He finishes the statement with, I have delivered Jericho. Meaning that God is already talking in past tense. He has already done it. Before a single brick fell, Jericho had already been delivered. He promised it. It hasn't happened yet, but He promised it. And this isn't one of those travel back to the future type thing where God breaks the space and time continuum. It's not that. He's done it. It's already happened. It's gonna happen. You just need to know that you have to be faithful and keep walking. The battle has already been won. The God of heaven's armies has already promised that the city would be theirs. And the battle is the Lord's. But what would have happened if the Israelites, all of them, when they returned from the first lap, went home and they said, oh, honey, you never believe what happened today. Well, honey, tell me about your day. What happened? We walked for an hour and didn't get to fight a battle at all. And we just came back home to the tents. The guy might sound demoralized, right? He's ready. He's in his armor. He's ready to go. And all they did was march and go back to their tents and are like, well, that was a waste of time. So they go and do it again. The next day they wake up and they get on their full battle armor and they're ready to go. And they march. And about an hour later, he comes back home and the wife, because this is what wives do, right? How was your day, honey? And that's a cue for all of us that when the missus asks that question, it's a little dialogue that wants to happen. It's not a it was a bad day and go sit on the couch. A little relationship work right there. Okay, so there's talking, there's communication, there's all of that. And can you imagine? Can you imagine if she asks, how many enemies did you take out today? None. Well, not a very good day then, was it? Aren't you a soldier? Demoralizing, right? All I can say is that they went for a walk. You walked? That's all you did today? Walked. Next day? Walked. God promised, God will fulfill. Don't quit. Keep walking. God promised that he will provide for you. Don't give up trusting that he will provide for you. God promised that he will be faithful and he will be with you. Trust that he will be faithful. God's got it. He's already promised it. He will fulfill it. God talks and can talk in a past tense because he sees the fullness of time. And you keep walking. Keep walking. We've talked about wanting a new day. A new day in our lives. We can't have a new day if we give up walking. Don't give up on the things that God has called you to. If God has called you to do something, don't give up. He will fulfill his promise, whatever that might be. Closing out with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Persevere, people. Persevere. Keep walking. We're going to close out with singing this morning. Stand as the worship team comes. Let me pray for you really quick. Father God, thank you so very much for your love for us, your grace and your mercy. Thank you that we have the charge to keep walking, to keep moving, to not giving up, to keep walking around the wall when it feels impenetrable. Because God, it is yours. The battle is yours. Our lives are yours, and we want to keep walking. Challenges us today, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.